Here's an interesting item, but not just in the obvious way. It's in The Sun online, headlined, "Top Secret Wuhan Lab Leak Intel May Finally Be Released If Trump Wins Election and Give World Answers," ex-CDC chief says. It's classic tabloid journalese. It's actually quite hard to understand as a headline unless you speak fluent Sun. Obviously, it was posted before Trump won the election. But the speculation about what he might do about what I consider the COVID scam is relevant. The opening paragraph reads, "Classified intelligence on the origins of COVID may finally be released if Donald Trump wins the US election," America's top virologist has said. Dr. Robert Redfield, 73, the former chief of the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has long believed COVID leaked from a lab in Wuhan, China, during risky research. Nearly 5 years after the first COVID cases emerged and with more than 20 million dead, the world still has no answers about the origins of the pandemic. Just for a start, I would want to know more about that figure of 20 million people dead. Specifically, I would like to know what they're actually supposed to have died of. There are other figures by now, of course, relating to excess deaths and also to deaths and harms caused by the jabs, the mRNA jabs. But those figures don't feature in the mainstream press, of course. But I personally doubt, I extremely doubt, that the 20 million people referred to in The Sun story died of the thing that was called COVID. But we'll get to that. The article goes on. Dr. Redfield, who led the CDC when the outbreak began in 2020, believes a Trump win will absolutely turn the tide. He hopes the former US president will declassify key intelligence on the origins and push for a full investigation with China's cooperation. Speaking to The Sun at his Maryland home, Dr. Redfield said, "We can actually have a real investigation with subpoena power." Yada, yada, yada. COVID was my wake-up call. Everything changed for me with COVID. And I have been increasingly suspicious of all official statements and all official lines of inquiry ever since. Pay attention to what we're being offered here, according to this story. As though the question, the number one question that needs to be answered about the scamdemic, is where so-called COVID came from. Now, I'm not even persuaded, in fact, far from it, that there was even anything new in the way of a disease. People died, of that there's no doubt. But in the main, as we know, as we always did know, it was the very elderly, often with comorbidities, ill with a variety of things. People like that die every year, often in very large numbers. But in the years before COVID, it didn't merit any coverage at all in the mainstream media. Those elderly and otherwise infirm and compromised are the people most susceptible to illnesses of every kind, flu and the like, because their immune systems are often weakened. It doesn't require a new illness to kill the frail elderly and those already suffering from other conditions like obesity and diabetes and a host of other things. Now, I'm prepared to accept it's possible that there was a new disease from 2019 onwards. After all, we know that there are labs and installations all over the world, including here in Britain, where bioweapons are developed, where diseases are weaponized. But for me, the source, if there even was a source, is a long way from being the most important question to ask. I say even if there was a new disease developed in a lab and leaked accidentally or deliberately, that sequence of events is of secondary interest. Where it came from is barely relevant in the scheme of things, all the things we don't know and haven't been told. When someone's shot and killed with a bullet, the number one question is not, why or by whom the bullet was made. That's not what you ask. What matters is what was done with the bullet, whatever it was or wasn't. What matters is what was done to us as a society. There are so many holes in the official COVID story. The fake films from China of people dropping dead in the street being just one. I don't know about you, but I still, 4 years in, don't personally know a single soul who died of so-called COVID. But look at what they did with the thing they called COVID. They tore apart society as we knew it. The Great Reset that they're pursuing harder and harder even now. The forced, or all but forced, jabs. The narrow window of opportunity to remake the world that they all crowed about. The theft of freedom. The transfer of wealth. The segue into war when all else failed. The ongoing attempts to hand ever more power, national sovereignty in fact, over to the United Nations or to an agency like the WHO, main source of funding one Bill Gates, who's on the record saying vaccines are the most profitable investment opportunity. I want an investigation into all of that. With or without a new disease, I say COVID was a scam, pure and simple. A friend of mine says a scam is exposed by three things. Number one, that thing is described as global crisis. Number two, it requires a global top-down one-size-fits-all solution. And number three, any dissent from the official line is silenced. COVID ticks all those boxes. The carefully and deliberately stoked fear and panic was exploited in pursuit of something governments wanted, which was intensified control over the populations. The thing they called COVID was just the convenient excuse, just a touch paper, waiting to be lit to burn down the old world. We're in danger of forgetting altogether that there have been no consequences for what amounts to a coordinated campaign of lies from the top down. There are more urgent questions than I can readily list. The authorities knew going in, before a single jab had been administered, that the people at risk of dying from whatever it was were those older than 82, the average life expectancy for people in this country. They knew they had zero justification for saying the jabs would stop the spread of whatever it was, because that hadn't been tested for.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunisation before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk.
Making an absolute lie of the claim people should take the jabs to protect others. They knew from Big Pharma's own research about the risk of the jabs causing myocarditis in young men. They knew about the threat of adverse effects on women's menstrual cycles and about the threat posed to pregnant women and their unborn babies. They knew all that in advance. And yet over and over, we were bombarded with the litany about safe and effective. Real-world data from Germany revealed that contrary to all the fear, hospital bed occupancy in that country was at a record low in late 2019 and early 2020.
In Deutschland bundesweit im Jahre 2020 auf ein historisches Allzeittief, sagt das Bundesgesundheitsministerium.
But knowing so much, they did what they did. They locked us down, they pushed masks when there was no evidence they would help and plenty of evidence they would do harm instead. All that happened led to the greatest transfer of wealth in history, while freedoms were severely curtailed and dissenting voices were silenced, reputations and livelihoods were destroyed. And so I say again, I don't care where COVID came from. I care about what was done to us by everything else, by what they did to us using COVID as the excuse. Who among them decided it was time to take our world from us and replace it with one that suited them better? That's what I want to know. And then there's this from the Telegraph newspaper in the UK, headlined, Boris Johnson aide behind Partygate scandal to be honoured at Windsor Castle. Campaigners say public service honour for Martin Reynolds is an insult to the memory of those who died during the pandemic. Quote, a former prime ministerial aide who organised a bring your own booze party during the UK's first COVID lockdown is to receive an honour at Windsor Castle. Martin Reynolds, a former principal private secretary, was nicknamed Party Marty following the disclosures about the May 2020 gathering in the number 10 garden. He will be made a companion of the Order of Bath for public service on Wednesday. Very nice for him, I'm sure. But others have a different take. Quote, the COVID-19 bereaved Families for Justice campaign group said the honour was an insult to those who died, those who grieved alone in lockdown, and frontline workers who served during the pandemic. Okay, look, no disrespect to those families. Of course not, only sympathy. But I say again, I very much doubt their loved ones died of the thing called COVID. People died, of that there's no doubt, and other lives were destroyed in all manner of ways. The Telegraph article goes on. Mr. Reynolds was named in Boris Johnson's resignation honours list in June last year. Appearing before the COVID-19 inquiry in October 2023, Mr. Reynolds apologised unreservedly when asked about the party. An email on behalf of Mr. Reynolds was sent inviting about 200 staff to enjoy the lovely weather with some socially distanced drinks in the garden this evening. Please join us from 6 p.m. and bring your own booze, it said. This was going on, this behaviour was there when the rest of the country was being terrified out of its wits, told to stay apart, told to stay out of each other's company. This was the time of Wine Time Friday, when those in the know were mixing freely, without masks, without restrictions. But when it comes to the honour for Reynolds, there's a pattern of behaviour here. There have been honours already for Chris Whitty, Patrick Vallance, and for more of the cast of characters besides. It also goes without saying again that there have been no consequences for any of the harms done to people, to society. All the while Wine Time Friday was happening at number 10, other people were condemned to die alone, dying of all sorts, denied visitors, elderly relatives were locked alone in their care homes. The general public existed in a state of fear. Fear sown by calculated campaigns of propaganda, whipped up by military intelligence and pushed by compliant media. And what happens in the aftermath of that? A reckoning? Confessions and admissions of guilt? Consequences? Promises never to do anything like that again? No. Honours. Honours for the guilty. This is calculatedly public and arrogant. This is about declaring that what was done wasn't just right, it was honourable. We are having our noses rubbed in their waste. They are laughing at us. They are laughing at our impotent anger. What was done by these people, or at least using these people as tools to get a job done, was the ruination of lives. Despite all the evidence, despite all the demands for a reckoning, this is what we get. Medals for the guilty, to underline the fact that not only do the authorities hear us, they want us to know how much our anguish doesn't matter to them, doesn't count for anything. They not only know that we know what they did, they want us to know there's not a damn thing we can do about it either. that lives were destroyed, that the very fabric of society was torn apart, is honoured at the highest levels instead, just to ram the point home. What it also makes pretty clear is that they would do it all again, and that they will do it all again, given half a chance. The actual consequences of COVID, loss of freedom, censorship, crushing of dissent, a list as long as my arm, all of that is still with us, getting worse. The next steps, central bank digital currencies, digital IDs, social credit scores, they're still hanging over our heads. The honouring of a former Boris aide might look trivial, but in fact, I say it speaks volumes. It says they got away with it, and they want us to know it, to swallow it all down and shut up. Well, I won't. I won't stop until there's jail time for what they did.